Sunday, March 15th, fourth Sunday of Lent, Laetare Sunday. The Epistle from the Letter of St. Paul to the Galatians, chapter 4, verses 22 through 31. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are said by an allegory. For these are the two testaments, the one from Mount Sinai engendering unto bondage, which is Agar. For Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which hath affinity to that Jerusalem which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For many are the children of the desolate, more than of her that hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born according to the flesh persecuted him that was after the Spirit, so also it is now. But what saith the Scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free, by the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. Haydock Commentary. It is written in the law, that is in Genesis chapters 16 and 21, that Abraham had two sons, Ishmael born of his servant Agar, and Isaac of his wife Sarah, in an allegorical sense, represent the two testaments or covenants which God made with his people. That by Ishmael was represented that covenant of the former law delivered to Moses on Mount Sinai, by which the Jews were made his elect people, yet, as it were, his servants, to be kept to their duty by fear of punishments. But by Isaac is represented the new covenant or testament of Christ given at Jerusalem, where he suffered, where the new law was first published, by which law they who believe in Christ were made the spiritual children of Abraham, the sons of God, and heirs of the blessings promised to Abraham. Sinai, the mountain in Arabia, hath an affinity with Jerusalem and with her children who remain under the servitude of the law of Moses. We cannot understand an affinity as to place and situation, Sinai and Jerusalem being near 20 days' journey distant from each other. Therefore, it can only be an affinity in a mystical signification, inasmuch as Jerusalem was the capital of the Jews, where the children of those who received the law on Mount Sinai lived still under the servitude of the same law. But Christians who believe in Christ must look upon themselves as belonging to Jerusalem, and not to the city of Jerusalem upon earth, but to the celestial Jerusalem in heaven, which is our mother. Now no longer servants and slaves to the former law, but free, being made the sons of God by the grace of Christ, and heirs of heaven. And these blessings were promised to all nations, not only to the Jews, of which the much greater part remain obstinate and refuse to believe in Christ, but also particularly to the Gentiles, according to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 54, Rejoice, thou that hast been barren, like Sarah. Rejoice, you Gentiles, hitherto left in idolatry, without the knowledge or worship of the true God. Now you shall have more children among you than among the Jews, who were his chosen people. St. Paul makes another observation upon this example of Ishmael and Isaac, that as Ishmael was troublesome to Isaac, for which he and his mother were turned out of the family, so also now the Jews insulted and persecuted the Christians who had been Gentiles, but God will protect them as heirs of the blessings promised. They shall be accounted the spiritual children of Abraham, while the Jews, with their carnal ceremonies, shall be cast off. This, says St. Augustine, is a figure of heretics, who are the children of the bondwoman, unjustly persecuting the Catholic Church. The Gospel from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. At that time, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus therefore went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Pasch, the festival day of the Jews, was near at hand. When Jesus therefore had lifted up his eyes, and seen that a very great multitude cometh to him, he said to Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, saith to him, There is a boy here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? Then Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, And when he had given thanks, he distributed to them that were set down. In like manner also of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, lest they be lost. They gathered up therefore, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above to them that had eaten. Now those men, when they had seen what a miracle Jesus had done, said, This is of a truth the prophet that is to come into the world. Jesus therefore, when he knew that they would come to take him by force and make him king, fled again into the mountain himself alone. Haydock Commentary. St. John does not usually relate what is mentioned by the other evangelists, especially what happened in Galilee. If he does it on this occasion, it is purposely to introduce the subject of the heavenly bread, which begins at verse 37. He seems, moreover, to have had in view the description of the different Passovers during Christ's public ministry. As he therefore remained in Galilee during the third Passover, he relates pretty fully what passed during that time. We may also remark that as the other three evangelists give in the same terms the institution of the Blessed Sacrament, St. John omits the institution, but gives in detail the repeated promises of Jesus Christ relative to this great mystery. From the circumstance of the Passover, the number of people that followed Jesus was greatly increased. To make the miracle still more conspicuous to the multitude, Jesus Christ showed that not only their present wants were supplied, but that there remained as much or more after they had all been filled than there had been at first presented to him.